Well, I hope you are discovering, opening, and using your gifts in the Lord's church. And we're continuing that sermon series today in the book of Romans. So would you take your Bible now and turn with me again to Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, where we learn about the gift of leading. And depending on what translation you're reading from, it could say the gift of leadership or the gift of ruling. But it is a very special gift that God has blessed many of our people here at First Baptist Church with. And we're so blessed by their ministry as they use their spiritual giftedness in the life of our church. Now I would like for us to look together at the actual ability of this gift of leading, and we'll begin with a definition. It is the spiritual ability to plan ahead, implement, and finish tasks. Now let me just ask a question. Shouldn't everyone have this attribute in their life, whether they're gifted this way or not? I mean, do you have to have this supernatural spiritual ability to be organized? I believe that every one of us need to try to develop skills where we are planning our work and working our plan. Far too many of us are flying by the seat of our pants, and life is too important, and the ministry is too vital to simply fly by the seat of our pants. So some of us are naturally wired that way because God has gifted us with the gift of leadership. It is a gift to organize. It's the gift to administer. It's the gift to manage. And some of us just are naturally given that gift at the moment of salvation. But for those of us that aren't, it doesn't mean, well, I don't have to be organized. God wants us to develop those skills so that we won't be frustrated and so that people around us won't be frustrated. Well, these are called motivational gifts. And so let's look at the motivation for this person. It is the desire to coordinate efforts and resources to achieve agreed-upon goals. Let's just stop right there for a moment. That last expression in that first sentence, agreed-upon goals, is so very important because as we'll get to a little bit later on and look at the misuses and the abuses of this gift, many times the person with the gift of leadership can have their own personal projects that do not benefit the whole. And we need to make sure that we have the best of the whole body of Christ in mind. And so to read that first motivation again, it's the desire to coordinate efforts and resources to achieve agreed upon goals. And then this last sentence, to be a manager of human abilities and assets. It's not just a manager of people, but it's a manager of resources. This is what lights the fire for someone who has the gift of leadership. They see a need in front of them, and they're immediately motivated to try to meet that need by managing it or organizing it or administrating it. There's also a wonderful scriptural guideline here in Romans chapter 12 for the person with the gift of leadership. You'll remember that these spiritual gifts end in verse 8. And then beginning in verse 9, we have a series of individual verses that correspond to each one of these seven gifts in order. For instance, the first gift we looked at was the gift of prophecy. And so the very next verse after the listing of these gifts in verse 9 corresponds to the person who has the gift of prophecy. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. And the key word there is love. Many times the prophet uses his or her gift without love. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that you could have the greatest speaking ability in the world. You could have the gift of prophecy, but if you do it without love, you're just a clanging brass and a sounding cymbal. So you see how this works. That's the first gift mentioned, and this is the first scriptural guideline. Last week, we looked at the fifth gift, the gift of giving, and that's verse 13, and it just totally corresponds with that gift, distributing to the needs of the saints given to hospitality. So verse 14 should correspond to this gift of leadership. It says there, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I know many of you are wondering, well, what in the world does that have to do with the gift of leadership, with administering, managing, and organizing? It has a lot to do with it, because if you've ever led anything, you're going to receive your share of criticism. When you're out front, you've got a target on your back, and people are going to attack you. People many times will criticize you, and many times you'll be surprised to where that criticism comes from. I mean, we expect criticism to come from the lost world's ranks, but it's surprising and especially hurtful to us when it comes from within. And we see this in the story of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. God gave him a task. He was stoked for this assignment. He got to work on it, and immediately he started being attacked and persecuted. And in Nehemiah chapter 4 and Nehemiah chapter 6, we see where those attacks came from the enemy of God, from outside the walls of Jerusalem. But also in chapter 5 of Nehemiah, we see where there was some criticism and persecution that came from within Nehemiah's own ranks, from his brothers and his sisters in the Lord God. And that's especially hurtful. And so many times whenever we are persecuted for our role in leadership, we want to stoop to the level of those who are hurting us and attacking us. And we should never do that. We should be reminded of the words of Christ over in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount in verse 44, where he said, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." Are you a leader of some volunteer organization, or are you administering some group of people, providing leadership for them and receiving criticism? I want to tell you how to respond to that. Don't stoop to the level of your critics. Rather, pray for them. And when you pray for them, ask God to bless them. That will totally rearrange the way you think about your critics and your attackers. When you start praying for them, and you especially ask God to bless them, you're going to start loving them. And you're going to start responding to your persecutors in the same way that Jesus told us that we should respond to our critics. And so it says there in verse 14 to not only bless those who persecute you, but bless and do not curse. Again, using Nehemiah as our example, we see how he blessed his persecutors in Nehemiah 4:14 and Nehemiah 6:14. But, you know, this is what I love about the Bible. It lifts up our heroes and shows us all their wonderful attributes, but it also shows us their warts. And Nehemiah actually cursed his enemies in chapter 5. I just love how the Bible is so real and just doesn't show us the positive things about those people that we're to emulate and they're to be our role models and examples, but it shows us how they were human beings too. But I love the way Nehemiah ends, because in chapter 9 through 12, Nehemiah lives out Romans 12:14. When he blesses those who have persecuted him. And the result of that was that there was great joy in the land and amongst God's people. Well, let's look at the attributes of the person who has the gift of leadership. And so move on with me there to that second point, the attributes of the person with the gift of leadership. We're going to be using Nehemiah as an example for these character traits. First of all, it is the ability to visualize the final result. That's exactly what happened to Nehemiah. He was just a layman. He was a cupbearer serving in the Persian Empire under King Artaxerxes. Word came to him in Nehemiah chapter 1 that all the city walls around Jerusalem had been destroyed. And so God gave this leader, this layman who was a person who had the gift of administration, he gave him a vision for going back and rebuilding those walls. And so we see this attribute in Nehemiah. We also see other attributes in Nehemiah. We see that he or she has the ability to break down major goals into smaller, achievable tasks. In Nehemiah chapter 3, this is exactly what Nehemiah did. He had a mammoth task in front of him. It was to rebuild all the city walls and reconstruct all the city gates. But he did it in a very wise way. He broke up all the co-workers into smaller groups, and they worked on smaller sections of the wall so that no one was really responsible for the entire task, but for their own section. And this is the way that a person with the gift of leadership is wired. They're good at delegating responsibility. Also, they have the ability to know what resources are available and needed to reach the goal. Again, using Nehemiah as our example, in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, before he even leaves the Persian Empire, he talks to the king. And he tells the king, I'm going to need certain things to complete this assignment. And here's my timetable. I'm going to be gone this long. This is going to be my schedule. And before I leave the kingdom, I'm just requesting that you give me some resources because I don't have a budget. I don't have any money at my disposal. So would you give me this list of building materials that I need to go and complete this project? That's one of the wonderful attributes of someone who has the gift of leadership. But there's several other ones. You might see yourself or someone else in this fourth attribute, a willingness to endure persecution from insiders or outsiders in order to reach the ultimate goal. We've already established the fact that if you're out front, you've got a target on your back, you're going to receive your share of criticism, you're going to receive your share of persecution. But if you have God's vision and God's goal and God's purpose clearly in front of you, you're going to do whatever it takes. It doesn't matter what the cost is to you personally. You're willing to receive the criticism. You're willing to receive the attacks and the persecution because you have God's higher calling in mind. Here is another attribute of someone who has the gift of leadership: a need for loyalty from those who are on his team. Whenever a leader is building his team or her team, they want to get gifted people. They want to get talented people. But one of the qualities that they admire the most in their team members is loyalty. They don't want to have to ever worry about someone on their team talking behind their back or being unfaithful to them. They place a high, high premium on loyalty. But go on and see another attribute of someone who has the gift of leadership. It is also the ability to know what he or she should delegate to others. You see, someone who has the gift of leadership really knows the art of delegation, and they practice the art of delegation. And this is exactly what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah delegated the responsibility of building the wall to the people on his team. You never read in the book of Nehemiah where he actually ever took part in the construction of the wall, but he kept for himself, as the leader, the responsibility of guarding the wall and also dealing with the enemies who were trying to tear down God's plan. And so Nehemiah knew what to delegate. You know, some people talk about delegating authority versus delegating responsibility. A leader should never, ever delegate authority, but it's perfectly acceptable to delegate responsibility. How about another attribute that you might see in yourself or someone else with the gift of leadership? It is that this person cares about the details of the assignments. They are details oriented, and if they don't watch out, they'll actually find themselves becoming a micromanager. Do you know what a micromanager is? It's someone who is so consumed with the details of an assignment or a vision that he just, or she can't just take their hands off of someone's responsibility and let them do the job that God has called them to do. They're constantly looking at the details of everybody under them and managing them on a moment by moment, day by day basis. Listen, trust the people that God has put under you. Tell them what you expect them to do. Give them an adequate job description and then let them have the freedom to use their gifts to do what God has called them to do. Don't try to do their job for them. There's a final attribute that a person with the gift of leadership has, and that is that they are decisive. Nothing frustrates a person who is a leader more than indecision. Sitting around and everybody just wondering, well, who's going to give marching orders? The person with the gift of leadership does not want there to be indecision within the team, and he or she makes a clear plan, communicates that plan, and the team marches forward. Well, what are the abuses of someone that has the gift of leadership? Well, I think there are four abuses or misuses of this gift. First of all, it's to use people to accomplish your personal ambition. Remember what I was talking to you about under the definition of moving toward agreed upon goals? Many times a person who has the gift of leadership has his or her own personal pet project, and it's not necessarily a part of God's plan for the life of that group of believers. And so they should never, ever abuse their gift in this way. Many times the person with the gift of leadership views people as human resources rather than human beings. Again, we need to value the people who are under us. We need to be able to affirm them as we guide them and let them know that they are personally important to us, that we're aware that they have needs, and we see them more than just as a resource or an asset. Our volunteers are indeed our greatest resource. Now, here is a second abuse of a person who has the gift of leadership. It is delegating too much work to others. You know, I was sitting out in the parking lot of a store just this last week thinking about this gift of leadership. And it was such a pleasant evening. I had the windows down. And it was a large, you know, parking lot that had these, grocery cart storage things. And there were a couple of workers there who were obviously assigned with the responsibility of going out and getting these buggies, we'll call them. And instead of getting the buggies, they were complaining to each other about their boss and talking about how their boss wasn't really sensitive to their own schedule. And one of them actually said, you know, he or she, let's say he, doesn't realize I've got a life. And I was just thinking, as a leader, boy, I wish I knew who their boss was. I'd love to go and tell them what I just heard. They're out here leaning on these grocery carts, not doing their job. But then I thought again, you know what? They probably have a very legitimate complaint. They're probably just worked to the max. Who knows how many hours they had worked that day? Who knows how many hours they were scheduled that week? And as leaders, we need to make sure that we value those who are under us. Know that they have lives. Know that they have families. Know that they have their own personal schedules and their hobbies and activities on their off time. Well, there is another abuse of someone who has the gift of leadership. It is overlooking serious character faults of people that they want to be on their team. Let me illustrate it this way. You're building a team. You want the absolutely best people on your team. And you see this gal out here, and she has got the gifts that you need to accomplish the goal that God has given you. Who cares that she might have some moral issues? Who cares that she might have some ethical concerns? Who cares that she might not exactly doctrinally line up with the Word of God? I know that she can help me accomplish my task. This is what leaders many times do. They see the end as more important than the means. And I've got news for you. God cares about how we get to the end. And He doesn't want us to sacrifice, He doesn't want us to sacrifice our values in accomplishing the end. And many times a leader will many times overlook serious character flaws of someone who is really gifted and talented in order to get them on their team. Never, ever do that. There is another abuse of those who have the gift of leadership, and it's failing to give proper explanation and praise of those who are working underneath you on the team. We all want to be affirmed in the job that we're doing. And just let me take this opportunity to praise the volunteers, the many volunteers we have here at First Baptist Church Noonan. We've got some of the greatest team members here at First Baptist that I've ever been around. And I thank God for you. I thank God for our Sunday school leaders. I thank God for our volunteers and all our age group ministries. I thank God for all our committee members, our team members, our ministers. God has really assembled a wonderful team here, and I want you to know, as your pastor, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. And I realize that people on the team want to know how they fit into the overall project and what their work is doing to accomplish the goal. And our goal is plain and simple. God has placed us here so that we might be able to share hope with a lost and dying world, so that we might share the light of the Lord Jesus Christ with people that have no light in their lives. The First Baptist Church Noonan has always been a lighthouse for the Lord in this community and around the world. And we need to continue to have that as our objective and as our goal. And as we're all marching together under the leadership of God, as He gives us leaders in our ministry to align us, to give us clarity and focus and movement, we ought to all be on the same page, all on the same wavelength. Not one person going this direction, another person going this direction, but everyone like a mighty army moving under the leadership of God, using our gifts to make an impact in this lost and dying world. Boy, it's a wonderful and glorious thing when that happens. You know, Jesus had all of these spiritual gifts, and He certainly had the gift of leadership. He is the ultimate servant leader. And He is the one who is here with us today. And even this morning, He is assembling His team. He is speaking to hearts here today, saying, you need to be a part of this team. And He is fitting together different abilities, different and varied gifts, so that we can be more effective for God's honor and glory. And it could very well be today that you're sitting in this building and God is saying, this is the morning. This is the day that you need to join the team. And it might mean that you're coming for baptism or just coming from another church. It might mean that you're coming and saying, you know what? I don't know what any of my gifts are because I don't know Jesus. And I want to be a part of His team and I just want to accept Him as my Savior. You could do that today. You could receive His free offer of grace right here in this time of commitment. In a moment, I'm going to be standing right down here at the front. And I pray that you won't wait on anyone else. You already know in your heart what God wants you to do, that you'll come and do what God wants you to do as we bow our heads together. Oh, dear God, how we just want to thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for His presence in this building. We thank you for how He has saved us and for how He has gifted us. And Father, we pray that we might march together in unity as a mighty army for your honor and for your glory, that lives will be transformed and that your kingdom will be impacted for your honor and glory. Father, I pray for those who are here today struggling with decisions. I just pray that you'll give them strength and grace and peace about making their commitment to you today. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.